First newsletter was in 1968, and came out of the world. And then in 1982, they developed the NA Way, which is still existing today. And there's some of the first editions back there. We started our publishing back then. We called it CARE, and it was Compassion, Action, Respect, and Empathy. And what happened was we found out that there was a lotion company by the name of CARE. So we changed CARE to Karina, and what we did was we took CARE and put N.A. on the back of it. And that's how we came up with Karina, which became Compassion, Action, Respect, Empathy for Narcotics Anonymous. And we established that name in 1968. And today, we no longer copyright anything by Karina. We call it WSO, which is World Service Office. And from 1953 to 1970, the first 10 meetings formed. And the first World Convention also. The first NA conference to be held week of November 5th to 7th at a country club in L.A. And this conference not limited to NA members, but to all who are interested in NA. So other people came from other fellowships, and what they do is they talked about addiction and development, because, like I said, the other fellowship was heavily involved in getting our fellowship off the ground, so that they could get addicts out of the meetings. And let me see. I know that 1972, there was about 200 members of Narcotics Anonymous. And some of them were from the Philadelphia region. And believe it or not, there was what we call today purists. There was purists back then. And who stood strong for Narcotics Anonymous and followed their traditions and all, wasn't good to know other fellowships, and that caused dissension in our meetings back then. But I believe through these people carrying the NA message, that's how we grew, because from 1972, which was only 200 members, till now we have like 1,800 meetings in the world, and we're worldwide. We're a universal program, and in the last 17 years, we grew very rapidly and got very large. And the WSO got together and did some statistics and reports, and they believe that by the year 1994, we're going to be the biggest fellowship in the world if we keep growing at the rate we've been growing in the last few years. And that's about all that I have. And I'm glad that I could come here and do this. And next year, if I don't speak on it, whoever does will have more information. Because it takes time, and actually I really didn't want to do this year, but we compiled as much information as we could, as fast as we could, and I just believe that, you know, God was with us and we got as much information in the archives as we did. And, you know, all I got to say is I love Narcotics Anonymous because it saved my life. And if it wasn't for the people back in the early days, this fellowship wouldn't be here. And they made it real easy for us because back then there were steps and all, but nobody knew about them. There was traditions and nobody knew about them. And what they did was they winged them. And today as the fellowship grew larger and larger, we got a better understanding. We got this concept of the disease, and which made it easy. I can remember 6 years ago going to NA meetings where 15 people in a meeting was a lot of people. And there was a fistful of people that knew anything about the steps. And I couldn't stay clean, you know. And it was from these older people that have been around and making, you know, developing this concept of addiction and everything, which made it easy for me. And finally I got it, but I'm deeply grateful for the people who have time and who've been around and who've been carrying the message, because made it a lot easier for all of us. And you know, I love addicts. They're my favorite kind of people. And I believe that I live Narcotics Anonymous. I practice the principles in all my affairs, and on any given day I can throw the principles out the window, but I do love the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm gonna stand strong for it, and I'm gonna stay involved in it. And with that, thanks for listening to me.
I'm an addict. My name's James. Man, grateful people like Danny giving up this good information on the history of NA, you know. And when he was talking up here and was talking about the meeting, the Plymouth meeting more, it brought me back to when I was in a rehab, Eugenia, and that's the meeting I was going to right there at Plymouth meeting more. And when he said the name JR, that's who was chairing the beginner's meetings at Plymouth meeting more when I first was trying to get this message. And today, I don't believe in being around the rooms, but being in the room today, you know, so I don't just be coming around, you know, and this is how it works, you know, and just carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous, man, and letting people have a more open mind to what the history of NA is all about. It's like we need people like that to carry this message, because so long we've just been in the dark of what NA is all about and where it began and how as far it's grown. And the rate is growing now. I cannot truly believe by 1994 it will be the biggest, largest fellowship, you know, because it's just over. Well, meetings just springing up all over. And it ain't too much more I can say. Everything's back there for you to look at and exhibiting. And you can see what's the history about and how the makings of it. And anyone care to share, they're welcome to come up here and share.
I'm very grateful for Recovering Addict. My name is Mike. Hi, everybody. Danny, thanks for sharing that with us. All I kept thinking as you were going along, I was mimicking most of what you were saying. About 80% of what you said, I knew. And it was the thing that all that information is there to be found if anybody cares to find it. You could find it. It's on tapes. The literature's available. People have stuff in their basements. But it was all the work of putting it together and gathering it. You know, and that shows your love for the fellowship. And all I could think about was that display case sitting in the back of the room full of stuff that was in people's basements and people's trunks, and it was in meetings and in coffee boxes, and all the good history and all the good people that are in the rooms and all the stuff that we can do when we get together and work together, because there was about 10 or 15 people that compiled their own little greed pots of NA literature and stuff, and selflessly got together and threw it in for this convention and for these archives. And we're hoping that disperse some interest, and that people will find whatever they have and dig it up and bring it. You know what I mean? And that someday that book they're talking about writing about the NA history in the world will really come to be, and that we'll really be able to look back and be grateful, because just in the few years that I've been around, seeing the growth and seeing how different meetings are and stuff, sometimes it's really neat to look back and remember how confusing things were just a couple of years ago, and how disorganized and how far you had to travel for meetings at times, and just to know that someday people are just going to take NA for granted a little bit. Like, meetings are going to be everywhere, and there's going to be lots of people with time, and people are really just going to like not know anything about the history and stuff unless there's someone to tell them. And anybody that's here seems to be interested in that. The information's there. And if we love this fellowship the way Danny loves it and the way I love it, it's kind of selfless love. This program saved my ass. You know what I mean? I did nothing to deserve it. Not a single thing. And I'm just grateful to be here, and this is going to be a good convention, and it was a great way to kick off the convention. That's all I got.
My name's Gus. I'm an addict. I'm glad to be here. And it's just really nice to see this, because I want to thank you, Danny, for putting this together, because I know what kind of work you went through to get that together. And it seemed like all the facts and everything were one thing, but it kind of like I have a wild imagination, you know? So I like to kind of see like a relay race, you know, one group of people handing it to the next group of people and saying, go ahead, run with it, you know? And for me, it's like, I believe that people should know where they came from, you know? Know your past, and it gives you some idea where you're going. And to look at that back there and to think there's only one or two meetings, like just Attic over here said, and now they're all over the place. You know, and that just didn't happen by itself, you know. It was like God working through a lot of people. And you know, that's the part that I really enjoyed about it, you know, like the thought process behind thinking of how it came to be and where it's going, you know, and how we evolved and how our concept of the disease of addiction evolved along with it. And you know, it's just a beautiful thing to be a part of this fellowship, and it's a real nice display back there. It shows where we came from. I think it's really nice.
Yeah, my name's Daniel, and I'm an addict. There's one other part of the history is there's like a lot of the basic text, and there's a lot of the books and the service manuals, and there's a lot of people who came before us that made those possible. But today there's still an area where everybody can get involved, and those who read this tape or listen to the tape later know that all the flyers that announce the little meetings that you started, all the flyers that announce the dances that you do, all the minutes from the new areas, all that is your history. And you need to compile this, and you need to store this, because these are the things that you'll look back on, and you'll be glad that, you know, you'll be around 5 years from now, and you'll look at these things and you'll say, these little flyers kept us. And next year we'll bring these flyers from all the areas in Philadelphia region, and we'll bring them back here and we'll compile them, hopefully. One day there'll be an archives representative in each area, and they'll collect these flyers and they'll bring them back here. And the newcomer can come here to a convention, and they can see the flyers and say, hey, I can do that, and then they can get involved, and then the newcomer can feel a part of this. And that's a real important part, because I know for myself, writing flyers and getting involved and starting meetings and making those flyers, you know, one day, you know, hey, it got me involved, it's keeping me involved, and it's keeping me clean, and staying involved has really helped me a whole lot. And there's a lot of little stuff that really makes you feel good. I guess that's all. Thank you, Bob.
My name is Wayne. I'm an addict. And it's good to be here. This is my first convention. When I started coming around to the rooms a couple of years ago in Philadelphia, the rooms weren't big as they are now, and they weren't as many meetings as it was now. And we didn't really have that many meetings to go to. It was like just a few meetings. And I look now, you know, I stayed out for a while, and I decided to come back. Well, God led me back, because, see, I don't do nothing on my own anymore. But when God finally decided that it was in his time that I should come back to meetings, I saw how the rooms had grown, you know, and I was so happy that there was more meetings to go to, because for a person who works and tries to get their life together, you know, you need a lot of meetings, because you can only go at certain times. But in the Philadelphia area, we have a lot of different meetings to go to, you know, and I thank God for that, and I thank God for you people being here for me, you know. And it's, you know, they say no coincidence in this fellowship. We ran into each other today, and I didn't know that the convention really started today. Well, I knew it started today, but I didn't know they had meetings and so forth. I thought it was just a thing of registering and, you know, not no great turnout like it is today. But, you know, I thank God, you know, for you people, and that there are meetings here. You know, I want y'all to keep coming back. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Henry. I'm just coming at it. No, I'm not lying. I was just, like, listening, taking a lot of things in, you know, and I'm one of those pack rats that Mike was talking about. And, like, I kind of regret some of the things that I don't have, that I did have, that, like, passed through my hands, and for one reason or another, never made it back. And it's kind of like I'm glad that I was able to get a part of it in one way or another. And, I mean, there's things I regret, but I'm still just glad that I was a part of it. When I came into this fellowship, we had the Philadelphia city alone just had six meetings, six groups. One of those groups that I made my home group was the first NA meeting I ever attended. And it had seven nights, 8 o'clock, and 5 days at noon. And that group's still in existence. It's a different location, but it's still in existence. It has about 3 or 4 meetings a week. But, you know, a lot of things from that group that I experienced, you know, is a lot of the historical value that I learned and felt through this fellowship. You know, it was there that I learned that NA was, you know, a fellowship that I need to be a part of. It was there I learned that service work was a part of being a part of. You know, it was there that I learned some real simple fundamentals of this fellowship that's kept me coming around and kept me coming back and gave me a reason to keep coming back. And it's there that I met the people that have put together this fellowship. I remember people were coming constantly from all over the tri-state area. And I mean, as far as New York City, were coming down to meetings, just stopping down at the meeting because they heard of this group, the Reality Group. And you know, so I really got at that point, I got a real deep involvement with the group. And when it finally moved to another location, I was heartbroken. Unbelievable as it may seem, there's been at that one location, it's at 6106 Tarsdale Avenue. At that same location, I pass by it quite often during my travel daily, and I keep passing by, and I seen it once this summer, and it's got the same kind of paneling it did way back then, 7 years ago. And you know, it's kind of ironic that it still has that, and it kind of makes me think a lot of the things that I experienced when I first came around. And now we, from 1982 till today, 1980, some of the things kind of like and he had so much to talk about, that, like, it's real easy to pass over so many things. But I was, you know, I was doing what Mike was doing. I was going over things in my head that I also knew about. In 1980, we had three meetings a week, three groups a week in the Philadelphia city area. And in 1982, we had four or six groups a week when I first came around. And now we can look, we have three different areas in the city alone. And it really grew. It's like real amazing to be a part of that today. You know, I don't know why I chose this way of life, this pattern, whatever you want to call it. I don't know why I chose this fellowship to be a part of, but, you know, like, I'm really glad today that I am. I'm real proud to say that I am, and I'm a part of it. I'm real, real glad to have met the people that helped put this fellowship and keep this fellowship together. I'm real glad to have found the higher power that a lot of these people believe in. You know, and I'm just real glad. You know, there's so many overwhelming things that are going through my mind right now. You know, sitting here thinking of back over all these times. Some people that are real close to me today still are part of the growth of this fellowship, and every once in a while we go back and we think about it, and I hear some more things that I didn't know before. You know, and it's kind of like what somebody told me a long time ago. He says every time you read this basic text, you'll learn something new. And I used to think that this, you know, this guy must really still be stoned, because you're going to read the same thing over and over and find something new, and I never could comprehend that. But today I do. And every time I talk to someone from that has been around longer than I have, I learn something else. And I mean, there's things I learned tonight that I didn't know, you know, and it's really interesting. You know, I'm just real, I feel real fortunate to be a part of something that's not only helped me, but I've seen so many other good things come out of it for other people. And it's grown. And I don't know, I think we all know that, you know, even from the person in here who has one day, the person here that has 15 years, we all know what kind of gifts we got so far just by walking in the front door. And like I said, I don't, you know, I sit back, every time I share at a meeting or like I'm asked to speak or something, I sit back and I think about that first meeting, and the only thing I can remember, and I was 30 days clean, I was in treatment, and I had gotten out for my first NA meeting, and, you know, I walked into that meeting, and the only thing I can remember is the guy, the chair, and the guy that spoke. The guy, the chair, still around in the fellowship, and, the guy that chaired, I don't see him too much. And my first sponsor is my present sponsor's friend from way back. They were roommates. And they all came from Ivyland. And it was a real sick bunch up there. And that's what I liked about that first guy, you know, if you can remember Steve. Kentucky Steve, we called him, because that's where he was from. And I just noticed, because it's on one of my first NA functions that I went to down in Cape May County. It was the first time I experienced NA outside of the Philadelphia area. And to me, it was like going around the world. You know, I had no wheels. I had no way to get down there. I didn't know anybody in the fellowship. And I found myself jumping on a bus, going someplace that I had never been before, and I didn't know anybody from there. Two or three people from the home group told me this was going on down there, and it was just a day picnic, and I remember going down there, and you know, I experienced it. You know, I experienced the love and the fellowship. And on the back of that ticket, I have my first sponsor's phone number, and you know, it's really interesting. A lot of things just connected up for me in life, And I went back, and a few months later, I got another sponsor who's still around the fellowship, and I see him once in a while. And after a while, I hooked up with another sponsor, and the sponsor I got today is really involved in the fellowship, and he still is, you know. And I kind of follow suit, and I don't know which one of us, probably him because he's got a little more time around, but I don't know which one of us has more of a love for this fellowship, you know. But I think we kind of both love it just as much. But that's what, the, you know, it's, I don't know, I feel like I'm selling NA up here. But, you know, every time I talk, I think about that. I think, like, am I selling NA or am I just sharing experience? And that's my experience, you know. My experience goes real deep. You know, it goes skin deep. It really goes. It goes really down deep, you know. And every time I think about this fellowship, I think of the things that I've gotten so far. And even the first couple of months of recovery that I learned and I'd gotten out of this fellowship. I remember one more thing I'd like to share that not too many people know about. I remember that first convention. And I remember, this is my personal experience. I remember when we sat in that room, and I was, at the time, I was doing something that one of the chairpersons from the convention, Tommy S., had put me into, because I wanted to be real involved, and I was 9 months clean, and I was working on the hotline. And every time I met at the hotline committee meeting down here in Center City, at Michelle P.'s house, I had something different, you know, something new and developed, you know, because I had these wild imaginations, and I was putting them to work, you know. It was a new addictive thing for me, you know, service work at the time. And they told me that this guy named Joe C. and this guy named Tommy S. Told me that they needed a new chairperson for the area hotline at the time, the helpline. And at the time it was, you know, it was the five counties, and, you know, I figured, I don't know, can I do the job? And he says, yes, so I took it. And within 2 months, we went into the regional helpline. And it was really gotten crazy. And I remember going to the first conference, whatever the hell we called it. So many different names for this shit. Convention. It was a one-day convention. We called it a convention. And that's where we got our first convention. And it wasn't even a convention. It was an overnight thing, and that's all it was. But I remember sitting up there at the head table, and I was down on the end, and it was so overwhelming just sitting up there at the conference, or whatever you want to call it. I'm stuck on that thought, sorry. Oh, shit. I'm overwhelmed here with all this shit going on in my head here at once. And I remember just sitting up there, and it was amazing. You know, it was just amazing how many people were coming in through those doors. I can picture it right now at 4th and Arch. And there was about 200-300 people at the banquet meeting. And I remember people coming up to me and telling me, it's like, wow, this is great. And this past year, another fortunate timing was I was able to go out to the World Convention in California. And I don't know if I'm correct or not, but it sure as hell seemed like about that much. But I think we had about 8,000 people in the room. And, shit, you know, that's like really mind-blowing, you know. So, like, I've seen the growth, you know. I've been able to really see the last 7 years of growth in this fellowship. And that's basically when it really took off, since 1980 till now. It's grown. I don't know, the first time I went to a world convention, I heard Jimmy K share at New York at the banquet, and that's the co-founder of NA. And ever since then, it's like I don't want to miss any convention. You know, I don't want to miss world conventions, I don't want to miss East Coast, I don't want to miss Philly, I haven't missed a Philly convention yet. And it's really, it's great to be a part of this. You know, I know a lot of people have a lot of problems with where conventions fit in, but I don't basically know myself, but I know that one thing, the celebration of recovery I experienced at the convention is 10 times of what I experienced at a meeting. But it sure as hell doesn't surpass that feeling of seeing a newcomer standing in a room, looking around the room at the banquet time, and seeing hundreds and hundreds of addicts hanging around, you know, hugging or just hanging out, talking about things, not getting high, and the newcomer turning around to me and saying, wow, this is neat, you know. And then all of a sudden, for the next 2 days the person bugs out, you know, because they don't know what meeting to hit first, you know, who to talk to, whether they should get phone numbers or like pictures or what, you know, and it's like, it's a trip, it really is, because I keep going back and I get my fix that way, you know, I get that first shot every time. But I just really love being a part of this fellowship. You know, there's so much history out there still that we haven't collected. That I was sitting there thinking of all the people, and I was trying to keep out of my head, because every time I thought of someone that I know is not going to come here and share some history with us, I start building resentment, and I was building resentment by the moment. You know, and I was trying to stay out of my head, but I don't know. I just like... The only thing I got to say in closing is I just pray that those people that are out there, you know, share with us some of the things that we got, you know, that we all have, you know. That's what I needed to do. I need to come down here and I need to share some of those things, you know, and I'm really glad that I was able to, you know. I'm glad I'm here tonight. Thanks for the share.
My name is Jim, and I'm an addict. I didn't always say that my name was Jim, and I'm an addict. I used to say, my name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic and drug addict. Used to say, my name is Jim, I'm a drug addict and alcoholic, and I'm powerless over my addiction. And somewhere along the line, I felt comfortable saying my name is Jim and I'm an addict. I'm really grateful for to Danny and Daniel and other people who put this together. In the past few days, I've shaken loose some cobwebs and listening to Danny tonight and other people share and kind of being nudged to come up here, and I certainly didn't want to resent him from Henry if I was one of those people who was referring to. I dyed my hair gray tonight because when I came into the program I was 8 years old, so I just want to let you know I'm not as old as I look. I was fortunate to have attended the first NA meeting on the East Coast at Eagleville, 1971. It certainly wasn't what NA is or what NA should have been. A couple of people, this was in the spring of 71, a couple of people wanted to nominate me to be the Secretary or Treasurer or something, and they were going to have a car wash or something. And I think their eventual goal was to take the money from the Treasury, which someone eventually did it at that first meeting. And she's in the program. I was thinking back when people were sharing that there are people around who were around back then. I don't see them much, but I hear about them, and if I get a phone number, I'll call them. I'm very partial to history. If I would have been able to select a minor in college, it would have been history. And that's one reason why I'm grateful for what people are doing with this. One of the memories that I shook in the past couple of days was after the Eagleville meeting, there were two meetings. One was in Springfield, Delaware County, and the other was in Belmar. And in the preamble that's read at most meetings, the part about when there's no surveillance at any time, that wasn't true in 1971. I can remember distinctly, the meeting was on a Friday night, and four or five of us were in the meeting, and we were looking out the window, and we probably were under observation by the police. No one really knew what was going on then. A letter was written to California around 1973, and we got a reply in 1976. Things were a little slow, so as soon as we got the letter, two people, Kathy H. from Levittown and Bill A. from Levittown, who are still in recovery, decided to go out to California. And that was really when the first contact was made with World Service Office, or whatever it was called then. You know, the one thing that that bothers me and disturbs me when I'm at a meeting is when the moment of silence comes, and I remember a lot of people who are no longer here, who came to some meetings. People who I was close to, people who I loved, who had to die, and then people who for one reason or another came into the program and left. I think there's one important piece of the history that I don't know if Daniel or anyone else has gathered putting this together. And that has to do with the contribution that AA gave to NA in Philadelphia when it first started. There was a AA group on North Broad Street near Broad and Olney called the Saints on Sunday night. And there were two brothers in NA at the time, and their father happened to be in AA. And we were barred from a lot of AA meetings. Or if we went to AA, we couldn't mention that we were addicts or drug addicts. So that's why we kind of slipped in, I'm a drug addict and I'm an alcoholic, or just I'm an alcoholic. And this group on Broad Street had a lot of kindness to let us come into their meetings. And then there were other groups of other AA groups in the area, 369 in Northeast Philadelphia, that were very obliging. And when a whole lot of addicts would go to that meeting, they slipped a little thing into their before their preamble. If your primary problem is hard drugs, we suggest you go to NA. Well, that was okay. However, there were only a few NA meetings. But somehow we managed to go there and just say, no, the hell with you. I owe a great deal of gratitude to a lot of people at that time. A lot of people who I shared things with, and a lot of people who shared things with me. I guess when I think about, you know, where are those people, and I do run into them, or as I said, if I find out where they are and call them, the one common thread that goes through all those people back then is that everyone then who was involved are still clean. Everyone who took the commitments in what was then area intergroup are still clean. And the people are still involved in an area of service and region. Some do it, I guess, more quietly than others. And for me, that was the most important thing. I was to stay committed. There were three things that I learned from my first sponsor, who was one of the first five members of NA in Philadelphia, and that was, and I do it today. I ask God to keep me clean in the morning. I thank God at night for keeping me clean. I go to meetings regularly. And if I have the opportunity, I try to help someone else if they want help. I'll share just two more things and I'll get out of here. And they both have to do with 12-step calls. Danny mentioned about Dutch H going on that first 12-step call for Ronnie M. And I just found out the other day that Ronnie M is clean again. Rumors had been circulating for a couple of years that he had died. Jerry S., who some of you in this room may know, who I thought at one time maybe was Henry's older brother. We went on a 12-step call one time. And it was down in South Philadelphia. I don't know what year it was, maybe 75 or so. And as some people have mentioned, you know, traditions being broken, this being broken, and everything that was possible to be broken was broken. So we went down to South Philadelphia and we picked up this guy in an apartment on the second floor. I remember going up. And this guy was in the bedroom and he came out, and a few minutes later his sister came out. And his sister was very attractive. And Jerry S. Was kind of noted for going after women. Well, this guy was pretty bad, and we took him to Einstein Southern for detox, and I'm trying to share the message with this guy, and I look over Jerry, and Jerry's over there talking to this guy's sister, and I don't think this guy stayed clean or got clean, but I know Jerry S. went on some dates with his sister. I'm sure he scored anyway. There was something else about 12-step call. I don't go out at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. In fact, I mentioned this in the meeting the other night. If need be, I would if no one else could do it. I'll get out of here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm an addict whose name is Dina.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, family. Through the grace of God and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, that I am clean and recovering today. And for that, I'll be forever grateful. I have a lot to be grateful for. I don't even know where to begin. But I'll start with something that happened to me recently. I experienced what we call a mental relapse as a direct result of not making meetings. I got a minute under my belt, and I thought I was okay, you know, and I was taking suggestions, but only the ones that I wanted to take, the ones that would suit me, okay, and I don't even know who I am. I'm learning today. I'm trying to find out, but I figured I could read the basic text and some literature and hit my knees and deal with this married man and be okay. Little did I know, pain and my disease grew. My disease came at me in full force, rare form, you know. And through the grace of God and you people in these rooms, I now have 8 months, 2 weeks clean, you know, and I really thank God for allowing me to have the willingness, you know, and just the faith of a mustard seed that there could be help, you know, just a twinkling of help for me. Because I was a lost person and a hope-to-die addict, you know, and I was real complacent in my situation because I was doing what I knew how to do best, and that was to get high, you know. And another thing I'm grateful for, I just celebrated my 10th birthday 2 months ago, and I thank God for that because I had been stagnated for so long, you know. It had really gotten to the point where I was really happy with who I was at that time because I knew nothing else. I didn't know anything about Narcotics Anonymous, and when I did find out, it was like, no, I don't want it, I'm not ready, you know, and I could always stop. That was real easy, but I could never, ever stay stopped, you know, And I just lived a living hell for 16 years of my life. And I am a mother biologically of a 10-year-old. And I'm learning today, through the grace of God and you people again, how to be a mother. That's an ongoing process for me, you know, but I'm getting better. Because they told me as long as I was willing that I could change and I could recover, you know, and that's not hard. The hard part.